Hello and welcome to Palace Intrigue. I am your host, Mark Francis. Well, is Her Majesty selling cannabis? Well, the Mirror reports the Queen's Windsor Farm Shop is selling a cannabis-infused energy drink, which has been flying off these shelves with customers buying in bulk. Cans of Trip come in four different flavors and are said to have proved very popular at Her Majesty's Windsor Farm Shop. A source told The Sun, "The drinks are quite quirky but very unusual for a farm shop, especially one run by the Queen. They are selling out quick. People pick up about seven or eight each time. The shop started stocking a few months ago and they've been really popular." Trip's website describes how its products can be used for guilt-free good times, adding CBD gives your mind clarity and your body balance. A farm shop spokesperson told The Mirror the shop sells a number of widely available soft drinks. Stock varies throughout the year. Now, while that story was fun, this one is a bit more morbid. The Express decided to take a look at what it would take for Harry to become king. As The Express walks us through the scenario, remember that Prince William, 39, is currently second in line to the throne and is due to take the crown after his father, Prince Charles, 72. In the tragic event that Prince William becomes king but dies before his elder son, Prince George, now seven, reaches adulthood, then Prince Harry would be forced to step in and rule. Constitutional expert Ian McMarthane explained the extraordinary circumstances that could lead to Prince Harry becoming regent. Discussing the 1937 Regency Act that dictates the position of regent in the UK, Mr. McMarthane told The Express, "The 1937 Act determined that the regent would be the person next in line who had attained their majority. While the Regency Act was updated in 1953 so that Prince Philip could act as regent in the tragic event that the Queen died before Prince Charles reached 18, this change did not apply to subsequent heirs." Mr. McMarthane added, "Therefore, in the event of Prince William having become king and dying before Prince George had reached his majority, and there having been no further provisions passed by Parliament, such as in 1953, then the rather anomalous position would arise, given present circumstances, whereby Prince Harry, as next in line, who had attained a majority, would become regent. This means that in the tragic instance of William's premature death, Harry would stand in as regent until Prince George turned 18. Well, while we're being morbid, Vanity Fair explored the effects the death of the Queen could have on the monarchy. Clive Irving's new book is The Last Queen, Elizabeth II's 70-year battle to save the House of Windsor. Irving said, "I wanted to write a book I felt I could only write. It was a lucky accident that my career spans basically the same years that the Queen's does. If you're in the same line of business for seven decades as she's been, you're not the same person at the end as you are at the beginning. It's astonishing that the Queen has been able to hold together the institution for as long as she has. She's gone through some important and visible changes during that time, and each of the changes she's gone through has been driven by the way she's handled particular crises. It's very important to understand this. It wasn't until the Queen's father took over from Edward that there was any sign that the Windsor family had the qualities needed to sustain the monarchy in greatly changing times, when it would be challenged by republicanism if the people running the monarchy didn't seem to be up to the job. The Queen's father was certainly up for the job and did an amazing job in the war, thanks largely to his partnership with Winston Churchill. The Queen was deeply imbued with her father's sense of duty and what it took to get the country through the Second World War. As you can see, this and everything she says and does. She became Queen when she was only 25 years old, so she was very inexperienced and had a very limited education. She needed all the tutorship she could get from Churchill in how to handle the role. If you look back from this distance now, back to then, you can see, I think her greatest achievement will have been that she sustained the meaning of the monarchy for all that time. In different hands, it may have come under a far more critical scrutiny and probably even been forced to become a much diminished force." More from Clive Irving tomorrow. The Express says Prince Andrew has been branded a boil on the backside of the royal family by furious royal commentators. Charlie Ray, the former royal editor of The Sun, spoke to talk radio's Mike Graham about the challenge that this presented for the heir to the throne, Prince Charles. Mr. Graham told listeners, "You and I know that if there's an elephant in the room, you can't keep ignoring it. You can't just pretend it isn't there. Anytime he does anything, even if he walks into breakfast with his mother, he must be thinking, I hope she doesn't ask me about that thing in America." Mr. Ray agreed, adding, "And his brother, the future king, every time he sees him, if he does see him, should know this is a problem that will continue." And in other news, compare Meghan Markle to Yoko Ono? How can we resist? In an interview with Elle, historian Robert Lacey describes similarities between the headstrong women. He said, Meghan is curiously like Diana in her subversion of the royal family. The other person I compare her to is Yoko Ono, a determined, original woman who came into a set of British folk heroes and stole one of Britain's cherished folk heroes. She made John her own. The same is true for Harry and Meghan. Harry seems very happy to have been stolen away. The price of that is leaving the royal family. My apologies for the background radiator noise. It's winter and my pipes just won't stop clacking. And there you have it. Please follow us on Spotify or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'm Mark Francis. My thanks to John McDermott. This is Balance Intrigue and good times.